Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom and our trends article, where we're talking about building creative theme parks. And to discuss this article, I have two fine guests with me in our studio.
Hi, everyone. I'm Linda C. Great to be back.
And I'm Josh, and I'm also very happy to be back talking about fantastic themes and how amusing it is to go to them.
And I'm also Linda, the other Linda, and we are happy to be able to discuss this. You know, yesterday we talked about Universal Studios in Orlando and also Disney, and gave the backstory, which is this: what happened before something that you see happened to the creation of one of Universal Studios' new theme areas, I guess we should call it. And what is that? What was that about, Josh?
Well, their story is this made-up Wet'suwet'en people who traveled all over the South Pacific in outrigger canoes and then stumbled across this island, Volcano Bay, where they settled and sort of created a whole world based on all the places that they visited in the South Pacific.
And if you go to Universal Studios, you too can visit Volcano Bay and the Wet'suwet'en people.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not so interested in the Wet'suwet'en people, you can just go for, you know, the water slides or the pools, because it is a water park.
Right. And we see that it was kind of interesting. You know, I think we all know this, but you don't think consciously about it, that both Disney and Universal are based on movies. Their rides, their sections of their parks are based on movies, that, and those, you know, movies change. So when I went to Universal Studios and Disneyland, the parts, the sections of those parks are quite different than what they have now.
Sure.
I mean, it's, and you said the same thing, right, Linda?
Right, yeah. So things that are mentioned in yesterday's article, I hadn't seen those, but then again, it's been a while since I've gone.
Yeah, I haven't been since my children were little, and, you know, now they're grown up. So none of these were there when I was there. They were totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today we're going to continue our discussion, and we're going to take another look. One of the issues that they're talking about is that Universal has created this story themselves, and it's not based on a movie or a book or a TV show at all, and they want to see what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Can they create enough interest to make it worth their while? Because it takes a lot of money to build one of these sections of a theme park. They have to build the entire world from scratch, and there's a huge investment. So let's see if it pays off. Well, we're on page 37 in your magazine, so if you want to turn there and follow along with us or find it on your digital device, and we're going to read this in the left-hand column on this page down to about line 15.
For Volcano Bay, Universal has decorated the water park with a variety of South Seas motifs, including Tahitian, Maori, and even Thai influences. Who else is in the game? Volcano Bay's big competition for attention hails from Disney, but it's not one of those water parks. And yes, Typhoon Lagoon was getting a major refurbishment and some new attractions. It's Pandora, the world of Avatar at Disney's Animal Kingdom. That new Walt Disney World land is based on a film, James Cameron's 2009 blockbuster, Avatar. But it might as well be based on a theme park original story, given how few fans seem to feel any passionate connection to that story of giant blue nature lovers on a world being invaded by greedy human business people.
So what do you think of the motifs that they've used to decorate Volcano Bay? It doesn't all seem to be South Pacific.
Well, I'm not sure if Thai is considered part of the South Seas, but you have Tahiti and you have the Maori from New Zealand. So those, when I think of those themes, I think of island and island life and just warm weather.
Right. So a motif is like the way that they, the pattern or design they've used. I think they're trying to make this world exotic. And exotic just means, you know, very quite different from what you know, mm-hmm. right? So if you're from, even if you're from Florida, whose weather is a lot like the South Pacific, mm-hmm. it's quite different than the island life.
It's very true. And even though it's a little bit of a strange combination to have Tahitian and Thai, because they are different areas of the world, I love Thai food. And if I was thinking of being on a Tahitian, so a pole house, you know, over beautiful blue water, and I got to eat Thai curry with a little bit of Thai iced tea, that would be fine for me. I wouldn't necessarily need that to be like a realistic, like geographically accurate presentation. I think I'd be okay with that.
You know, I really think that most Americans don't know the difference anyway. I mean, they're just thinking about areas of the world, so.
Well, you know, it is unfortunate, but it's true. A lot of people who live in the United States are not geographically very accurate, shall we say. For example, when I lived in Costa Rica, for whatever reason, people would confuse quite often, even people who knew me very well, Costa Rica with Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is an island. Costa Rica is not. Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory. Costa Rica is not. But for whatever mm-hmm. reason, there was a crossing of the two. And so people would ask me a lot of questions, like what it's like to live on the island and if people still really want to become a state when I was living in Costa Rica, so much obviously talking about Puerto Rico instead.
And those two mm-hmm. places are a lot closer to the United States than the South Pacific or South Seas.
For example, mm-hmm. Tahiti and Taiwan, which also I think maybe for some Americans may sound similar enough that they just kind of mix them up in their head.
Actually, what they mix up is Thailand and the island of Taiwan.
There you go,
yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I know some American, most of them are Americans, but when they told their families and friends that they were moving to Taiwan, the island of Taiwan, everyone thought that it was Thailand. They would mm-hmm. mix up, you know, the two places. And so yeah, but and these two places are quite different.
Right. Well, we see that we've been talking mostly about Universal Studios here in Orlando, but we also have introduced Volcano Bay, and we see that there is a huge competition, or big competition for attention, hails from Disney. And if you hail from something, what do?
You come from that place.
Yeah, usually we use it if you say, instead of saying where are you from, you can say where do you hail from.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And you can say what part of the world you're from. But here, they're using it in a different way. So their big competitor is Disney, and that is not surprising at all mm-hmm. because those are the two, you know, really big movie companies that we think about.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that it's not one of those water parks, and they have their own Typhoon Lagoon. I think that is so funny. If you live on an island that experiences typhoons, maybe you don't want a theme park named that.
But. Right, exactly. But if you've never experienced a typhoon, then it's a fun name or a fun idea.
I know, but this is in Orlando, right? And don't they have hurricanes, which
is
the same thing?
Yeah.
I guess Hurricane Lagoon doesn't have the
typhoon.
Same.
Hurricanes can actually be stronger than typhoons. But since we don't use that specific term, it's something that, it happens in the islands, you know, the typhoon will come and a tidal wave will come. We don't really experience tidal waves, though.
Okay. So it's slightly different. But here we have Typhoon Lagoon, which is Disney's big, like, water park.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And what is happening to that? They're changing it quite a bit, right?
So Typhoon Lagoon is getting a major refurbishment and some new attractions.
What is refurbishment?
When you refurbish something, you take something that's existing and you sort of, in the case of furniture, you would take the old finish off the top and then you would refurbish it or make it look brand new.
Okay, so it looks like they're changing. They're taking the top off it. mm-hmm. or the outside appearance of it, but they're leaving the basics of it there.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it sounds like it's getting a major renovation.
Right. And that they are adding some, as well as taking the old bits and making them look brand new, they mm-hmm. are also adding some new attractions as well.
It's kind of interesting. They're adding Pandora. And if you are a movie fan here, you probably went to this movie back in 2009.
Avatar, the movie created by James Cameron, about blue people.
Yeah.
It is about blue people, but it's a very interesting movie. It did very, very well.
That's why they call it a blockbuster.
Exactly.
Which is what?
A blockbuster is kind of an interesting term. It used to be, at the very beginning, it was a movie that just did very well and made a lot of money. But as time went on, studios began to bet on large productions making a lot of money, and they would start calling them blockbuster films or blockbuster productions. So now they are films that spend a lot of money in the production costs, and they're kind of make it or break it. So they spend a lot of money on it, anticipating that they'll make a lot of money off of it. But if a blockbuster film doesn't do well or bombs at the office, it can really hurt a studio.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But this one didn't fail at all.
No.
It was very, very successful. So that's why it's kind of surprising what's actually happened here.
Right. It says that, strangely enough, it might as well be based on a theme park original story, like they're saying that Universal Studios did, because of how few fans seem to feel any real passionate connection to this story of giant blue people. And when you put it like that, you know, it kind of makes sense.
Invaded by greedy human business people.
Right. You know, so.
It is kind of, and I like the way that they kind of describe this movie. You know, you don't really, when you're watching it, you're not really thinking about that part of it because it's so fantastical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it really is the basis of the whole movie. So why do we think that this is not that popular?
Perhaps because it's a movie that doesn't appeal to younger children. Because with that younger generation, you know, you'll be able to hook them onto anything that's associated with the movie. But here, Avatar appeals to more adults or older kids, so they might not be too into the movie and, you know, buying whatever is associated with it.
Yeah, I think.
Right. I think you're right. Mm-hmm. So even though Avatar did very well in the box office, had many, many people go and watch the movie, it may not necessarily have the same sort of like broad base of attracting both young and old, like some of the other movies that we've looked at here. So, and you know, when I think about the movie itself, the movie was beautiful.
Right.
Very, very pretty and very fantastical. And the creatures and the plants, all very interesting. But there isn't a lot of real, like, characters that you can fall in love with as far as like the
That's
story
true.
Goes.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel bad for the way that the people are exploiting the planet, and you really do want the nature to be protected. But as far as like characters that you really fall in love with, like figures that you would go and buy, I can't really think of anyone in the movie that would really stand out to me as far as that went.
Right.
Yeah, if you look in the world of action figures, actually, there's not a line of Avatar
right.
type of figures. Mm-hmm. Like there are, you know, Elsa and her entourage are everywhere.
Sure.
Right.
And that was a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Perhaps it's because they lack a good backstory.
Right.
We learned about backstories yesterday.
Maybe. But also, I think that Josh used a key word when he was describing that he said the word people. So there's no one character you can, I mean, you know, really the main character you can identify with somewhat, but it's more general,
sure.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we see, as we continue reading, we're going to see what actually Disney is hoping will happen. So let's continue reading with our reading until the end of the article.
Disney is also banking on the sequels to Avatar, already in pre-production with scripts that actress Sigourney Weaver called incredible. Based on early booking reports from Orlando area travel pros, Avatar isn't bringing fans to the park the way that Harry Potter did for Universal, or even how Frozen and Cars did for Disney in recent years. Still, Disney reportedly spent approximately $1 billion developing Pandora. And while Universal is not said to have spent anywhere near that on Volcano Bay, the park clearly represents an investment of many millions of dollars. For the two biggest companies in the theme park business to make the money they expect on these attractions, they may need fans to embrace them without the help of an already widely beloved entertainment franchise.
So basically, we are looking at the theme parks in the United States. I think for our readers in Asia, we also know that there are Universal Studios and Disneylands or Disney Worlds in this part of the world too, like in Japan, Hong Kong, and Shanghai, that also have some of these very same kind of theme parks. Like Universal in Japan has Harry Potter World, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And in Shanghai, they have a very interesting one in Shanghai. They have all the small children's ones, but they also have Tron, which is appealing to, you know, like older kids because
like
you're
me.
Living, huh?
Like
you.
Me.
Yeah. In some way, we're all just big kids.
Right.
Okay. So, but let's see. It says here that Disney is also banking on the sequels to Avatar. So if you bank on something, what do you do?
You're relying on it, like you've invested something into this a lot, actually, like they have with their Pandora theme park.
Right. So it kind of has a double meaning because if you bank on something here, it also means you've spent a lot of money on it that you want to see a return on.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And sequels. So we know that there are going to be something coming after the original Avatar, right?
Right. There will be sequels to Avatar. And they are already in pre-production.
So what does that mean?
That's the process that movies have to go through before they actually film them or make them.
So I did not realize that Avatar had a sequel in pre-production. So this is news for me. But usually when you say that a film is in pre-production, it's a pretty significant guarantee that they are moving forward with actually filming the film. So this is whatever financing that they need in order to make the film happen, they're going to confirm that. But they will also confirm the major actors, which is a big part of financing. So if you can tell your investors that you have actors that are going to draw a big audience, then that sort of convinces them that it's a good investment. As well as you will choose directors, cinematographers, all of the big names that are really important to draw the film project
mm-hmm.
together. But then you'll also usually, over the course of doing so, you'll kind of finalize the script and make the storyboard. So if they're already in pre-production, it means that they're pretty close to finalizing the process to where they begin filming, which is kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm. Right, and we see that Sigourney Weaver, actually, she was in the original one as well. So she's involved, which will be a draw to a lot of people.
Definitely.
Because of her, mm-hmm. who she was in the movie. And she's calling the scripts incredible. So I don't know what that says for a theme park. For rides, but you know, I think it's definitely going to be a huge draw to for the theater.
Yes.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. If the sequels have as much or maybe nearly as much success as the original did, then that will be a big draw because after they see the movie, then they want to maybe go to the theme park.
Well, I think it's kind of interesting. It says here that based on early booking reports from Orlando travel area travel pros, Avatar isn't bringing fans in like they thought that it would, which is pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that they're thinking that the sequel will bring it up again in people's
minds? Right, because
minds?
It's been a while since the original movie came out.
So that's like eight years ago.
So some kids, they probably weren't born when the movie well, it's, yeah, maybe not that long. But.
That's true. But, you know, kids of the age who would be really interested in going to a theme park probably wouldn't have been around for, like, the original hype of Avatar, right?
Right.
So do you think kids would get this movie, you know, Avatar? Because the theme of the movie is very adult.
The theme is very adult. It's, you know, it seems almost cartoon-like just because of how fantastic it is, right? So it's really very exciting. But I have to say, there is a little thing here that causes me a little bit of concern. Avatar, we all know, is very successful, well-written, and interesting and beautiful movie. But sometimes when you have a good script and you have a good director and you have a good actors, but then you have a movie studio that really wants to make money on the merchandising end, that they start making choices that make maybe the movie not quite as strong as it could be. Some people would say that's why they had Ewoks in Star Wars, right? Because they made a merchandising choice that would be more successful as far as being able to sell merchandising rights afterwards.
But they were so cute.
Yeah,
they were very cute. And so for a lot of people, that worked very well. There are some people that would say that they would much rather have seen a planet of Wookiees than Ewoks, but it just depends on what kind of Star Wars fan you are.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, it's like, oh, I really hope that they don't end up making choices that are for merchandising or for theme parks instead of for good movies. But fortunately, Disney seems to be able to balance those pretty well. So hopefully that will not be a big influence on James Cameron's production.
Wow. You know, there really are a lot of aspects to in this field that we aren't really aware of.
It's true.
You know? Mm-hmm. So it will be interesting to see what happens. And we see here in our article that even though Avatar hasn't brought fans to the park the way that Harry Potter did for Universal, or we're looking at even Frozen and Cars did for Disney, they are looking at how much they actually spend on these theme parks. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's a huge amount.
$1 billion for Pandora.
Right.
That must be, well, we're talking about Blockbuster, so we're talking about Blockbuster spending here as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we see that, so this goes back again to Harry Potter and Frozen and Cars are quite appealing to kids. Where probably Avatar is not. I think maybe watching it is beautiful, but if you can't really follow what's happening also, because it's quite deep, you know, if you can't really follow it, it probably doesn't have that same pull. I think Linda talked about that earlier, too.
Right, yeah. I mean, there aren't any cute and cuddly creatures.
There are no Ewoks.
In Avatar.
There are no Ewoks in Avatar. And even if you think of other characters in Star Wars, like there's so many different characters.
Oh, yeah.
Each have kind of like their own story, have been created the story. There's also many books that have kind of like brought out the stories of that. So there's lots of opportunities for people to really kind of fall in love with different parts of the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where Avatar, well, although we don't know what will happen in the sequel.
Mm-hmm. It would be interesting to see the merchandising of the Watari people as well.
Sure.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like what they're putting out for people, especially kids. I mean, we're talking about kids here, I think, to be able to relate to see if they want that collection, so
right.
to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we see that even Disney, their reporting, spent about $1 billion to develop Pandora, and Universal, they don't think has spent anywhere near that much, right?
Right, but they have clearly spent at least like a few millions. Like they've spent many millions on this theme park. Not as much as $1 billion, but it would have had to cost a lot of money to create the world of the Watari.
Now, for the listeners out there who are looking at the magazine article, you can see there's a couple pictures here with captions about the world of Avatar. And looking at this, I can understand maybe how they've spent so much money
mm-hmm.
on this theme park. So the first one is that the Avatar Flight of Passage, which simulates the effect of riding a banshee, which was one of the dragon-like winged creatures that people would ride around in the movie. But then below that, they have a picture of the Flasca Reclinata, which is one of the many handmade plants in the alien world of Pandora. So this kind of, to me, talks a little bit of how they've spent a lot of money, but it isn't necessarily money that will really connect with a lot of people. So me, as someone who's interested in plants mm-hmm. and botany, having sort of like alien plants, well-designed and created, is very interesting to me, but I don't know, even adults or kids, mm-hmm. how many people would be into fantasy botany.
Yeah, that is a good point. Right. Yeah, I don't think that's what kids go to look at.
Probably not.
But, you know, it is true, because when you go into a theme park, or anything like this, the first thing that I look at or notice is it realistic?
Right.
You know, or is it, like, extremely plastic looking?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're going to one of these, it is not plastic looking.
Right. Or maybe realistic is not the word, since it's supposed to be fantasy,
well,
but
right. you know what
believable.
I mean.
Yeah.
Believable. Very believable.
Well, I mean, by realistic, does it feel real,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
or does it, like, you look at it and go, oh, yeah, that was made from recycled plastic or something that,
right. Right.
you know, was very fake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we're looking at fake versus real.
Fake versus real fake.
Yeah, yes. versus real fake, right. Mm-hmm. So we see here that very last paragraph talks about the two biggest companies in the theme park business. For them to make money, they expect on these attractions. They feel that fans, which would be us, need to hug, embrace them, mm-hmm. which means to take them in and accept them without the help of an already widely beloved entertainment franchise. That's kind of a mouthful. That is one sentence, that entire paragraph. But it does say that their expectations are that we need to really accept them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we hope that we've given you something to think about when you go to a theme park, and maybe you want to go check these out yourself. There are several in Asia, or if you find yourself in the United States to visit. And we hope that you will join us again next time here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye.